Well, good morning. Welcome to Back to the Book broadcast. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. Hope we can be a blessing and a help to your heart today. And hope you're making plans now to be in the house of God this morning and come to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. It's good to be saved on these last days. And I believe we're living in the last days, the last part of it anyway, and approaching the coming of our Lord. And that's the only hope we've got today to get out of this mess we're in. Is the coming of Jesus. Now, you can accuse me of escapism if you want to, or trying to get away from it. I'll be glad to get away from it. I'll be glad to get out of this world and get to where Jesus is. Amen. Now, don't take me wrong. I enjoy living for the Lord. I enjoy life. I enjoy every day. And I tell you, it's just good to be saved in these last days. But there's something better than this life. There's something greater. Then this life, we've got a place prepared for us by Jesus himself. The promise was made when he left. If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And he gave us the way and paid the price and gave us an opportunity. And I tell you, it's good to be saved this morning. And so you meet us in church today here at Mountain View. Our brother Kevin Norton, the pastor, he'll preach to you the Word of God. And 10 o'clock for the Auditorium Sunday School. And then 10:45 for the worship service. Back tonight at 5 for the evening service. And you come be with us in the house of God throughout the day. I believe you'll be blessed of God if you will. I appreciate his blessings. Amen. Good to be saved on these last days. All right, we're going to pray for your needs this morning. There's a lot of folk needs prayer. Some of you listening today, you're not able to get out and go to church. I tell you, my heart feels for you this morning. I missed a few services, a few times, not able to go the last 10, 15 years. And it's not easy to stay at the house when church is going on. I tell you, not for a child of God, it didn't. Maybe easy for some folks. Well, they'll go shopping. They'll go rambling around on Sunday morning. They'll be found at Walmart, the shopping center, at restaurant places, not going to church. And I tell you, I'd rather be in the house of God this morning. And so we're praying for you that God would bless you today, and he will if you'll look to him and supply your needs this morning according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And so we want to send it out to all the shut-ins. Hope it'll be a real blessing to your heart today, be an uplift to your soul. And also remember this also, we'll be our Wednesday night service, and of course even Sunday services is on YouTube. And under Kevin Norton, you go there and you'll find the place where there's live streaming for Wednesday night service. And so you remember that. And if you can't go, now don't lay out at the house and tune in and where you're able to go to church. Don't do that. There's no substitute for being in the house of God. And David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us sit down in front of the computer and watch it on YouTube. That wasn't what he said. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Now, it's good when that's all you've got. That's great. And that's all you've got. But it's nothing will substitute for being in the house of God, where God's people are, and worshiping together, and praying together, and rejoicing together, and hearing the preaching of the Word of God, hearing the songs as we blend our voices together in praise unto our God. Amen. So you meet with us today. We want to pray for your needs this morning. Father, as we come in your presence this morning, thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, that we have to approach the throne of grace and come boldly today and might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We don't thank you for your promises, for your provisions and your blessings, God, that you've given us. How wonderful you've been. I pray you bless all these needs in Radio Land today. Those not able to go, God bless them this morning. And those, Lord, that are away from you, that's drifted out into sin, gotten away from God, out of church, I pray you deal with their hearts today. Then, Lord, most of all, that precious soul that's lost, undone without a Savior, this might be the day the Holy Ghost will prick that heart, and they'll respond by repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Have your will and way in all you do. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to have some songs this morning, and I hope it'll be a blessing to your heart today and be an uplift to you. It's always good to have a song. Amen. And so we talk about a place to go. We've got a place to go. Amen. You listen as Kelsey sings this song. You see, it's what you have in your heart. The Lord's got a place for us. And the Bible said we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. And we're somebody and we're going somewhere. Amen. We're not a nobody, no one, nowhere. We're somebody going somewhere. All because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And we accepted that and repented of our sins and got born to the family of God. Accepted Him as Savior and Lord. That's a wonderful day when somebody gets saved. So it's not what you have in this life that makes you important. It's what you have in your heart. Where you're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Belong to God. We're in the family. We're in the family this morning. I'm not just hanging on by a thread. I'm in the family. Amen. I'm an heir of God and joint heir with Jesus. I'm just as sure to have heaven as Jesus has. And He's already there. Coming back to get us. Now, just to complete the journey, we're going to make it one day. Amen. So you listen to this next word song today. Hope it'll be a blessing to you. I can make it. Thank you. going all the way. Amen. I'm not in for half the trip. We'll get halfway there and get broke down by the wayside. We're going all the way. Amen. All the way home. And going to be good to get there. Praise God. Well, the book of Philemon, let's go back there this morning. The book of Philemon. We've been trying to preach from that a couple of weeks. And hope it's been a blessing to you. And I've enjoyed studying it and reading it and preaching it. And so we want to start reading about verse 10 today and read the rest of the chapter. Now, you're familiar, if you've been listening to the book of Philemon, how that Onesimus, a runaway slave, had gotten in contact there by divine providence with the Apostle Paul and gotten saved by God's grace. And Paul sent him back to Philemon with a letter telling about what had happened to him and relieving him of his guilt and relieving him of his indebtedness. I'll show you that in just a moment, but Paul paid his bill, amen. What he owed and what got him in bondage and servitude to start with, Paul took care of it. But in verse 10 said, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, that thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, how much more unto thee, but in the both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee, or if thee ought, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how much thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord, having confidence in thy obedience. I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt do also more than I say. But withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that I through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner, in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Now go back to verse 10 today. We're going to, of course, we've already covered most of that, but we know how that this man got saved by God's grace. Now, if there's a theme that I have this morning for this message today was, look what a change God has made. Look what a change the Lord hath made. God changes lives, and that's what we want to look at here today. Onesimus got his life changed, and he got his whole outlook on life changed, and his future was changed also. Now, Paul is telling him here, at receive him not as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved. Receive him as myself. I'm your brother. We're brothers in the Lord. We're both saved by God's grace, and we're brothers in the Lord. So receive him as myself. In other words, Onesimus had gotten saved and become a brother. Amen. He became a brother. He was not an outsider any longer. He was not alien from the commonwealth of Israel any longer. He was not a stranger from the covenants of promise any longer. But he is a brother beloved, and one that was had a standing with the Christians and a standing with God. And so that's what makes you a brother. It's not what organization you belong to. It's whether you've been saved or not. That's what makes you a brother or a sister in the Lord, is whether you've been born again. You can join every organization in the country, and that won't make you a brother. But I'm telling you, brother, when you get saved by God's grace, it makes you a brother in the Lord to those that are of like-minded faith. Amen? And so receive him, Paul said, receive him as myself. And listen, he said, he departed thee for a season that thou shouldest receive him forever. This was a lifelong relationship given to this man by the new birth. He was to enjoy a lifelong relationship with God and with the Holy Spirit and with God's people as it receive him forever. There is nothing temporary about a relationship with God. Some of you think you can get lost again. Well, I got good news. You can't get lost again. You're sealed till the day of redemption. You've been born into the family of God. You cannot become any less than what you are today, even because of sin. Because when you sin, God deals with you as with children, and he chastises those that belong to him. And if you get away from him, he won't put you into hell, but he sure will chastise you and correct you and bring you into discipline with the Lord. He'll do that. And that's what a child is made for, is to be raised and trained and disciplined by the parent. And that's where a lot of parents get out of touch today. They're not to discipline the children any longer. They're not training them any longer. They just turn them loose. Learn as they will. And think it's funny when they do bad. But oh, my friend, that's another subject within itself. But here we find that he became one of the family. And Paul said, not as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me. Now, Paul said, I appreciate what God has done in this man's life. His life has been changed drastically. He's now a brother in the Lord. He got changed just like I got changed. He got changed just like you got changed. And he's talking to Philemon. You at one time, you was a lost man. And at one time, Paul is saying, I was a lost man. But God changed our lives and put us in the family of God. And here's another brother that he's put in the family. You may have some resentment toward him because he ran away owing you money and owing you in servitude that you had paid for him. That's what happened to him. And he run away from him. He is rebellious and he didn't want to work. He didn't want to repay. And so he fled there. But when he got saved, he came back, walked into the house, handed him a letter from the Apostle Paul and said, Philemon, I want you to read this letter. I don't deserve to come back, but I'm here. And look what he said. And Paul said in verse 18, now look at what Paul did for him. Amen. Paul was a man that was glad that he had gotten saved, and he began to help him with all of his needs that he had before he got saved. And verse 17, he said, at verse 18, if he hath wronged thee, if he hath wronged thee. I mean, if he's made you mad because that he left you and because he run out on you, if he's wronged you. So he had wronged Philemon. He had wronged him. It wasn't right for him to flee and run away from the indebtedness and the servitude they had for Philemon. Philemon had done him a favor. Philemon had helped him and loaned him what the means wherewith he could get out of debt. And he had to work out that indebtedness. But the Bible said, Paul said, if he wronged thee or oweth thee aught, whatever he owes you, he said, put that on mine account. In other words, Paul is telling him what he owes you, whatever money he owes you, you put that on my account. I'm going to charge it to me. Isn't that just like the Lord? Isn't that just like God? He takes our sin and takes care of them and puts all of our sins on the Lord Jesus. Amen. And taken care of by the grace of God. And so he put that on my account. And Paul said, I've written this with mine own hand. This is not a forgery. This is the truth of the matter. If he owes you money, you put that on mine account. And listen, if wronged you, if he's hurt your feelings, if he's offended you, he said, you put that on mine account. And that so Paul was taking this man and giving him a clean slate to start with. Isn't that just like the grace of God? When we get saved by God's grace, God lets us start all over again with a clean slate, forgiven of all of our sins, and that all the guilt is gone, and with the dissolving of the indebtedness that he had, his guilt was gone that he had by running away from that indebtedness, and God have made sure that Paul paid all that and put that on his account. And so he said, I wrote it in my own hand. I will repay it. Paul said, I will repay what this man owes. I'll take care of the indebtedness that he had with you. When I come again, I will repay you. But don't you forget what I've done for you. And he said there, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. And so if you have a problem forgiving this man and transferring that to mine account, remember what I've done for you and what God has done for you in the past. And so there it is. And so I'm talking about starting with a clean slate. I'm talking about, brother, getting going without any guilt at all of our past sins and our failures that we had in the past. God cleanses us from all sins, the Bible said. He don't just forgive us partially. He don't just forgive us temporarily. God forgives us of all sins and casts them into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered by him anymore. God don't hold grudges. Amen. And Paul is telling Philemon, you can't hold a grudge against this man, because what he owes you, I'm going to pay. And what he's wronged you, put that on my account, because you wronged others in the past, and that you have... And you have been in debt before yourself. And listen, and Paul said, I'll take care of it. Isn't that just like the grace of God? It takes care of the guilt of our sins. Grace is the undeserved favor of someone else. And of course, it's God is the one that we owe to him. But Paul is saying to him, whatever he owes you, put it on mine account. And said, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. He said, listen, I want to rejoice in the Lord with you. I want to rejoice. I want you to rejoice with me that this man got saved by God's grace. Don't hold a grudge any longer. And brother, take him at his word. And what I say, because I saw the results of this man's salvation, and I saw him when he got saved, and if I could, I'd have kept him with me in your stead, because he can do what you're doing, and he's got the change of heart that you had when you got saved. Brother, listen, God's the judge of all that, and the evidence is seen by those around us, and brother, when God saves a person, his works will show what happened in his life. That's what James is talking about in the book of James. He's talking about, you show me your faith by your works, and listen, and that's what he was telling James to do. You show me your faith by your works. And we're justified in the sight of God by faith, nothing more, nothing less. We justify in the eyes of man by our works. Amen. Man sees what God has done in our life by our works. Faith without works is dead. Amen. You say you got faith, you don't have any work, there's something wrong in your faith. You've gotten the wrong thing. But here Paul said, let me have joy, refresh my bowels in the Lord, having confidence in their obedience. Paul said, I got confidence in your obedience to what God wants you to do. I've got confidence in you. Boy, man, didn't it feel good for somebody to have confidence in you after you get saved by God's grace? The same ones that you deceived, the same ones that you defrauded, the same ones, my friend, that yet you wronged, have to see what God done. And that, brother, listen, to have confidence in them, because you saw what God done in their life by their works and what they've been. And Paul said, I'd have kept him with me instead of you if I could have. But he needs to come back and straighten up the thing with you. And now whatever he owes you, just transfer that to my account. Amen. just like God's grace. Amen. God don't hold anything against us, and He takes care of every sin that we committed in our past. God does that, and He'll take care of the present sins if you'll confess it to Him and get right with Him. He'll do that same also. You've let God down. You failed God. You've backslid on God. Brother, if you'll confess it to Him with a God of repentance, He'll forgive you and forgive you of that sin. That's what the blood of Jesus is all about. Not just past sins, but our present sins. God forgives us, and we confess it to Him, and we turn aside from that sin and get right with God. God forgives us for it. Amen. Aren't you glad you're saved this morning? So Paul said, I got confidence in you. I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. He said, you'll do more than ask of you. Amen. Had confidence in Him. And so Paul has said, now I want you to get me ready a room because I'm going to come be with you. I trust through your prayers I shall be given unto you. Paul said, I'm going to come and see what's going on there. Paul was excited. He wanted to come back and see what Onesimus had done after he got back and see the response of the church that was there and the house of that beloved brother, Archippus, the one that had the church in his house. He wanted to get back there and see what kind of was going on with Onesimus after he come back and made things right with his master. I'm telling you, brother, our reunion was going to take place in that church. There's going to be a good day when Paul got back there and looked out there, and there sat Onesimus in the congregation with the other brothers in the Lord. Amen. Isn't that just like God? Forgives us of our sins, forgets about our sins, and makes us a child of God. So I salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Marcus was there, Aristarchus was there, Demas was there, even Demas was there. Lucas, my fellow laborers, those that labors with me in the Lord, I salute them and send them my greeting. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And so Paul was real thrilled to see Onesimus get back to Philemon and set things right with God and right with him. Amen. Well, our time is gone this morning. God bless you on the next Sunday at this same time.